and welcome. As we together unite our hearts and worship to our great God. Our call to worship is from Psalm 73, the last verses. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. God has given to us the privilege through our Lord Jesus Christ and by his Spirit to draw near to him and worship of him. Let us turn our hearts to him as we come before him in a moment of silent prayer. Let's pray. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Congregation, receive God's greeting. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn of praise is hymn number 408. 408, Great is Thy Faithfulness. is the Lord's faithfulness. We witness that as we profess together our faith in the triune God, considering that that faith has been preserved by the Lord's hand from generation to generation, right back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the Christian faith, well, that is the Christian faith, but through the greater fullness of the new covenant for the last 2,000 years, the Lord has preserved his church and preserved us and our life as well in faith, despite struggles of sin and our own flesh and the attacks of the devil. How faithful he has been. Let us together then, in worship of the Lord's, of the Lord of faithfulness, confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed. Congregation, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Sing together hymn number 403. 403, speed thy servant, Savior, speed them, missionary hymn. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's come before Heavenly Father in prayer. O Father in heaven, we recognize that it is you, O God, who calls us. And calls us to service. Or you are the one who calls us and has called us to faith and obedience, to fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ. You are the one who has called us by your Spirit, effectually, out of the darkness and rebellion of our former state and nature, and into light, unto truth, and unto love of our God. You are the one who calls us to worship you. You are the one who calls us to serve you. You are the one who has called us to various and specific and diverse service, avenues of service. You are the one by your Spirit and by through the ascended Lord that has showered gifts upon your church. And so we pray for your blessing upon us as we seek to be obedient to you. As we are indwelt by your Spirit, made ready, able, willing, and equipped to serve you. We praise you, O living God, that you are the God who creates and indwells. That you're the one who is called forth out of nothing, beings who depend upon you, who find their sufficiency in you, who move because of you, and whose hearts are moved because of you, because of your glory, because of your honor, and are obedient to your command. We praise you that you are the one who sends forth and receives back the ministering spirits, those mighty angels, your servants. And you are the one who also sends us forth and receives us as your servants. We thank you, Heavenly Father, then for the blessing of being ministered to by one another and Christ ministering through one another to us. We lift up before you our brother, Pastor Mike Cuneo in Italy again. Lord, we pray your mercies to him. We pray that you would support him and encourage his heart and mind in your truth, in your promises. We pray for recovery for him. We pray, Heavenly Father, that even in this time, the ministry to which you have called him, the work and labors that he has done over the last years, his perseverance, his diligence, that there may also be fruit from this, even while he is sick and weak, even disability from the stroke, that your Spirit would continue to work in the church there. And also through Mike and Ivana's testimony, through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through their example of perseverance, even through this, and patience in you. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we have an offering this afternoon, that you would bless these offerings as we give them for this work, and to be an encouragement to Mike and Ivana and to the church there. We pray for those among us, disappointments, those in who are weary or tired, those who have been through much conflict and are weary from that, battle sore, those who are grieving, missing the presence of loved ones, or lonely, those who are tired of this world, longing for fellowship with Christ and with His people, those who you have brought to an end of themselves. We pray, Father, you lift up your people's hearts unto yourself. We pray for those with health difficulties, those dealing with trials of age, of getting older, and the infirmities of that, that you would support them and encourage them. Lift up also before you the enter's friends. We thank you that blessing of them, their connection to our congregation from a distance, as it were. We pray, O Lord, that you would encourage their hearts as they are going through some very difficult health struggles. We ask your blessing upon them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would build up our trust in you and in your word and in the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the upheaval, the restlessness in our country. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would enable us to think rightly of all things that are around us and before us, guided by your word. We have much to thank you for, indeed all things, and also concerning our civil governments, the peace that we have, security that we have, the civil order that we enjoy and able to live and do business under. For the infrastructure that continues to be maintained. We are concerned. We are even grieved. We even disagree. The movements within the government. And they're moving over limits that you have placed for them, taking unto themselves powers that belong not to them. We pray that you would cause them to be convicted for these things. We pray, Heavenly Father, that there might be a return to your word, that there might be a concern for righteousness, for true justice, There might be conviction for the allowance and for the funding of abortion and of euthanasia. And for the many other wrongs that are promoted. Homosexuality, transgenderism, divorce, adultery. So many things against your holy laws that ought to grieve us and cause us to weep. I pray, Heavenly Father, that our government and our citizens, that us, we would see the limits that you have ordained for us. And might act in righteousness and holiness before you. For you are our great King. You are our sovereign. You are our Lord and our God. We pray, O Father, that in all things might submit to your holy word, to your laws, to you. Father, we pray that you would then lead us through your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you that word would shape our homes, our home life, our relationships with one another. The way we love and care for one another. The way we speak to one another. The way that we are entertained or not entertained. Our habits. Our thinking. And we pray, Father, that through all these things, we might come to love you more, desire to know you more, and treasure the covenant relationship that you have made with us. And so we pray and ask your blessing upon your people, also for this coming week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our song of preparation is hymn 468. 468, God of the prophets, bless the prophet's son. So we'll sing four verses, 468. We'll stand as we sing. Thank you. We're looking again this afternoon. Looking again, and it's this afternoon, Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. And we are still in the section of God, or Joshua portioning out the land of Canaan. And near the end, at the end, last chapter of that. Joshua chapter 21. Let's hear God's holy word. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they speak unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their suburbs. The lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, and out of the tribe of Simeon, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. And the cities and the children of Gershon had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, and out of the tribe of Asher, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. The children of Merari, by their families, had out of the tribe of Reuben, out of the tribe of Gad, out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. And the children of Israel gave by lot unto the Levites these cities with their suburbs, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And they gave out of the tribe of the children of Judah, and out of the tribe of the children of Simeon, these cities which are here mentioned by name, which the children of Aaron, being of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had, for theirs was the first lot. And they gave them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, which the suburbs thereof, with the suburbs thereof round about it. But the fields of the city and the villages thereof gave they to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for his possession. Thus they gave to the children of Aaron, the priest Hebron, with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Libnah with her suburbs, and Jasher with her suburbs, and Eshtemoah with her suburbs, and Holon with her suburbs, and Deber with her suburbs, and Aen with her suburbs, and Jutta with her suburbs, and Beth Shemesh with her suburbs, 9 cities out of those 2 tribes. And out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with her suburbs, Geba with her suburbs, Anathoth with her suburbs, and Almon with her suburbs, 4 cities. All the cities of the children of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And the families of the children of Kohath, the Levites, which remained of the children of Kohath, even they had the cities of their lot out of the tribe of Ephraim. For they gave them Shechem with her suburbs and Mount Ephraim to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Gezer with her suburbs, and Kibzaim with her suburbs, and Beth Horon with her suburbs, 4 cities. And out of the tribe of Dan, Elteca with her suburbs, Gibbethon with her suburbs, Ajalon with her suburbs, Gath-Rimmon with her suburbs, 4 cities. And out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Tanakh with her suburbs, and Gath-Rimmon with her suburbs, 2 cities. All the cities were 10 with their suburbs for the families of the children of Kohath that remained. And unto the children of Gershon, of the families of the Levites, out of the other half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan and Bashan with her suburbs to be a city of refuge for the slayer. And Beesh-Terah with her suburbs, two cities. And of the tribe of Issachar, Kishon, with her suburbs, Deborah, with her suburbs, Jarmut, with her suburbs, and Gannon, with her suburbs, four cities. And out of the tribe of Asher, Mishael, with her suburbs, Abdon, with her suburbs, Helkath, with her suburbs, and Rehob, with her suburbs, four cities. And out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh in Galilee, with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Hamath Dor, with her suburbs, and Kartan, with her suburbs, three cities. All the cities of the Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And unto the families of the children of Merari, the rest of the Levites, out of the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with her suburbs, and Karta with her suburbs, Dimna with her suburbs, Nahalal with her suburbs, four cities. And now the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with her suburbs, and Jahaza with her suburbs, Kedemoth with her suburbs, and Mephaoth with her suburbs, four cities. And now the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Mahanaim with her suburbs, Heshbon with her suburbs, Jazer with her suburbs, four cities in all. So all the cities for the children of Merari by their families, which were remaining of the families of the Levites, were by their lot 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 with their suburbs. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about them. Thus were all these cities. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught or anything of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, does it not often happen in a family or a school class that one or two of the individuals need more attention than the rest, and they get more attention than the rest? Someone very close to me has a theory of what's called, what they call the third child syndrome. That the third child in the family is less conscientious, apparently, and more irresponsible, and somehow they get more love and attention and favor than the rest. Perhaps you've seen it in classrooms concerning certain individuals. One or the children, just a little bit more antsy. Has an ounce more enthusiasm than the rest. Always has an extra word to say that everyone finds humorous, or everyone simply feels it's their duty to laugh. He or she gets a little more discipline, a bit more instruction, and also a bit more privilege and coddling than the rest. Well, we might wonder about the Apostle Peter, who denied our Lord three times on the eve of his crucifixion. Peter ran at the news of the resurrection. Peter jumped into the water to be with the Lord. And three times our Lord asks Peter, do you love me? Peter was a spokesman for the apostles at the Pentecost. Why Peter? Well, the Lord's wise purposes. What about Levi among the sons of Israel? Well, Jacob certainly did not bless him above the rest. He certainly was not shown any favor from his father, Jacob. No, the great blessing went to Judah. Yet, God turned miserable circumstances and consequences into a blessing for Levi. Special attention, we might say, in a certain way. Certain attention went to the tribe of Levi, despite the curse that God had placed on him. God's grace. What we see here is that God embeds his dedicated servants among his people in order to show his faithful love of his people. He does this through this people, this tribe of Levi, whom he gives a great blessing. God embeds his dedicated servants among his people in order to show his faithful love, his favor to his people. First, we see God's faithfulness follows his promises. God's faithfulness follows his promises. This chapter, chapter 21 of Joshua, completes the third section of Joshua, chapters 13 to 21. Joshua, this book of Joshua, is an account of the Lord bringing Israel into the land, conquering the land, and dividing the land among the tribes of Israel. The last verses of this chapter, verses 43 on, are not just a recap of God's provision for the tribe of Levi, but of God's provision of a land inheritance for all the tribes of Israel. Those verses 43 and 45, summarize God's faithfulness in giving to all Israel all the land that he swore to their fathers to give. He gave them rest from all their enemies. There did not fail anything that God had promised in the words that he had spoken to their fathers or to Israel along the way or to this present generation. Nothing failed in terms, not one thing was missing in terms of what God had said. All it came to pass. These words are true of God's provision of land for Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh on the other side, on the east side of the Jordan, chapter 13. In terms of Judah's possession of the land, inheritance of the land, chapter 14 and 15, including the land that went to Caleb. Also, Joseph, so the Lord is faithful to him concerning all that he had promised to Ephraim and Manasseh in chapter 16 and 17. And then also, even though some of the other tribes were not faithful at first in taking the land, the Lord was still faithful in designating land for them, in giving them land. Chapters 18 and 19, Benjamin, Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. But boys and girls, one tribe has been left out. And right from the start, this is mentioned throughout. Each time there's a portioning of land that only to the tribe of Levi no inheritance as yet had been given. Mentioned in chapter 13, verse 4. And then in verse 33 of that chapter. Then in chapter 14, verse 4. Then in chapter 18, verse 7. The narrative on these chapters makes clear the entire tribe of Levi is not dealt with as with the others. Everybody else receives the portion, receives the slice of the pie that God gives. But it's almost as if Levi is put in the corner. Why? In case you don't remember the why for this, it's in Jacob's blessing and curses on his sons, which comes, of course, which is by prophecy from the Lord, the Lord's purposes. Chapter 49, verses 5 through 7, Jacob had said, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Simeon, cities. He receives still cities, but not an entire portion of land with boundaries as with the other tribes. Simeon received cities in Judah. But Levi has not been mentioned. So Levi was cursed by God. But there's more to the story. Levi was set apart by the Lord from all the rest of the tribes in the wilderness. In a sense, they redeemed themselves. In Exodus 32, when Israel made a golden calf and worshipped it, Moses came down and said, "Who is for the Lord? Whoever is for the Lord, gird on your sword." Only the Levites responded. And regardless of their personal relatives, they went through the camp with Moses, striking down Israelites. Every man struck down his brother, struck down his father. Because of the great sin that was in the camp. And God's judgment on the camp. They were the instruments of the Lord in punishing his people. And so God, through Moses, made clear that because they were for the Lord, they would be set apart for the Lord. Because of this, in chapter 13, verse 33, the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. He was their inheritance. In a particular way, then, the Lord would provide for them in a way that was different than the other peoples, the other tribes. And they would serve the Lord in a particular and a special way. Chapter 14, verse 4. It says there that they gave no part to the Levites in the land, except cities to dwell in, with their common lands for their livestock and their property. And so here in chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, the fathers of the tribe of Levi come to Eleazar the high priest, who is at the tabernacle in Shiloh, and remind him of the words of the Lord. Remind him, everyone else has received their tribe and inheritance. Even though we have been cursed, God still promised to us cities in which to dwell in, that he would still have a place for us in the land. That tells us, congregation, that it is not wrong or inappropriate to ask of the Lord in a submissive faith what he has promised to us in his word. Because the Lord delights to give according to his word. The Lord is faithful and he asks us, he commands us to pray. And thus it follows that we then should pray according to what he has said, according to what he has promised. We must acquaint ourselves with his word so that we can repeat back to him the very words that he has spoken to us. He delights to hear those words. Just as here, he delights to give to the Levites as they come asking, requesting that which God had promised before to give. As they say in verse 2, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to live in. The high priest obviously answers accordingly. And all the brother tribes of Israel do as they were obligated. Work of the Lord in their hearts. They gave to the Levites out of their inheritance and they gave to them cities and the outlying regions of those cities. As we read, every time mentioned a city, the suburbs around it. Verses, the end of that section, verses 41 and 42, it mentions these were the cities of the Levites, the children of Israel, 48 cities with their suburbs. These cities, it was everyone with their suburbs round about them. Thus were all the cities, not just the dwellings and a walled city, but also with the farmlands and the pasture lands around the city as well, for them to live, for their livestock, for the crops, so that they could be sustained. This was the Lord's faithfulness to them, that they would be provided for and physically provided for. Verses 4 to 8 then. Verses 1 to 3 is the request and the answer to that request. Verses 4 to 8 tells us how many cities each tribe gave. And it's divided according to the three sons of Levi. So Levi had three sons, Kohath and Gershon and Merari. Kohath receives 10 plus 13 cities, 23 cities. Gershon receives 13, and Merari receives 12 cities. When we look at the numbers and we divvy it up according to the tribe, we see that it's pretty much equal from tribe to tribe, that each tribe gave an equal amount. Judah with Simeon gave 9 cities. One extra between the two of them. Naphtali gave 3, 1 less. But all the rest give 4 cities for a total of 48 cities. Exact cities in each tribe are mentioned in verses 9 to 14. These are gives the name of each city, verses 9 to 40. So evenly scattered throughout Israel, the Levites take up their place among the Israelites. And they're scattered throughout. And the reason is for this is that their fellow Israelites are to provide for them. They're not just placed all into one tribe, and just that tribe has to provide for them. But throughout the whole land of Israel, Israel is to see, all the Israelites are to see that it is their calling to provide for these Levites, that they might serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 12, verse 19, God commands the Israelites to not forsake the Levite as long as they live in the land. Deuteronomy 12, verse 12 says that when they rejoice before the Lord with their family and their servants and eat their meals and offerings of thanksgiving, that they are to remember the Levites within their gates, since they do not have a portion or inheritance with them. Deuteronomy 18, verse 1 says, they shall eat the offerings of the Lord. The Levites shall eat these offerings of the Lord that the people bring to the Lord and his portion. Let's see that God provided for the Levites through the offerings of the people, that they would give. And this is part of the reason then that they are scattered throughout the land of Israel, that all the people would be able to support and care for these Levites. And indeed, then this is God's faithfulness to the Levite tribe, that their physical needs would be absolutely provided for. Even though the Lord had cursed them, he shows such grace to them now, answering his promises and showing that indeed he will provide for them through the people in quite a remarkable and blessed way. They will be blessed as the people give, thankfully to the Lord, and they get to enjoy the fruits of that. That as they look to the Lord while they are sojourners in the land, the Lord, their portion, would supply to them every good thing. Now, this becomes a principle that is taken up in the New Testament in terms of those who are ministers of the gospel and how the church also provides for them. Paul reminds the churches that those who are in 2 Corinthians, that those who, or 1 Corinthians, those who sow spiritual things have the right to reap material things. That they are to be provided through the ministry of the gospel. That they have the right to eat and drink. That they have the right to enjoy marriage. To take a wife along and to be provided for them and their family. And so it is the church's obligation to provide. And that is part of her service of thankfulness to the Lord. We are thankful how God has provided richly through you. But yes, the provision of cities with the land was then answer to the Lord's promise. Nothing of the Lord's promises fails. Do you trust in His provision day by day? And recognize that as He places before you your daily bread, as you have food in your refrigerators and freezers and your pantry cupboards, as you can bring home a trunk load of groceries each week, that this is the Lord mercifully, faithfully, lovingly providing for you. The health care that you receive, the medicine that you're able to take, God provides graciously, abundantly for His people. And, of course, supremely we see that in Jesus Christ and what He's given us in Him. He redeems us, our life, from destruction. He redeems us from our sin. Do we see in that the Lord's faithfulness? As we sang, all I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness follows His promises. Secondly, God's calling communicates His purposes. God's calling communicates His purposes. The Levites then are to be provided for, materially cared for, and this is for a purpose. They have no inheritance, but the Lord is their inheritance, and they are to serve Him. God gave Levi a special calling then, and this calling reveals His purpose in scattering them throughout the land and providing for them through the offerings, that they might be then spiritual servants and leaders in Israel. When they took that stand at Mount Sinai, they were set apart to the Lord. And they were set apart to be given a spiritual function among Israel. We see this in Moses' blessing and prayer for the tribe of Israel, reflecting on that time. He says, they observed God's word and kept His covenant. Therefore, they shall teach Jacob your judgments and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and a whole burnt sacrifice on your altar. There's two separate callings here that are for the Levite, both of which are an element of God's spiritual program for Israel. They are to serve God as teachers and priests. Numbers 18, verse 23 says, and the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall perform these things that happen in the services of the tabernacle. And this is reiterated in chapter 18, verse 17 of Joshua. The Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Similarly, in chapter 13, verse 14, only to the tribe of Levi. He had given no inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. The priesthood, with the sacrifice, the performing of these sacrifices, they had been set apart from the living in this world, the regular living in this world, as the other Israelites had, in the order that they might be priests to the Lord, that they might be servants to the Lord. Specifically, those from among the line of the Kohathites, those of Aaron's line, Aaron, his father was, I believe, Kohath, whose father was Levi. And those of Aaron's line were to be priests. The oldest son in the line of Aaron was to be high priest. And the rest of the Kohathites, the rest of the Kohathites were to be servants of the tabernacle. And so they, perhaps with other Levites, were in charge of the religious services of worship of the God of Israel. They performed the sacrifices of atonement, the sons of Aaron did, for the sins of Israel, 1 Chronicles 6, verse 49. And these whose portion was the Lord were detached from this world in a sense and were commissioned to lift up the eyes of the people of Israel to the Lord God, to acknowledge the great iniquities, the great iniquities of the people with them, before them, and the transgressions against his laws. They were to direct Israel's eyes to look in faith to the sacrifice of righteousness that's provided by the Lord. They were to lead Israel in confession of their sin, in hearing his word, in offering up sacrifices and offerings, in lifting up their voices in song and praise of God, conducting then these worship services. Of the Kohathites, Heman, the singer, and his 14 sons and daughters are mentioned at David's times, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 33. He was commissioned, it says, to give thanks to the Lord for his mercies endure forever. As well as Asaph, who stood at Heman's right hand, and his sons, 1 Chronicles 6, verse 39. The second task was that of teaching. Levites were scattered throughout Israel in order, as Moses says, to teach them the law of God. They're scattered all throughout so that at any point an Israelite can go and find a Levite and ask him concerning the law of God. In any place in Israel, there would be this education system in which the people of Israel and the children, the next generation, would be trained according to the ways of the Lord. How important that is. Necessary to be catechized in the word of the Lord. So the Levites were scattered throughout Israel for this purpose. Alfred Edersheim explained how the Levites were as town rabbis or teachers who taught the children the Torah and really even taught them how to read, so that they became a literate people, one of the earliest literate peoples. But to the Levites, then, whose father had been centered out and cursed for wrongdoing, the Lord has a purpose in their being scattered. The Lord has a purpose in all that has taken place. And it is for this marvelous calling. The calling communicates his purpose. His grace in choosing Levi was for the ministering of the law and gospel to the people of Israel, all throughout Israel. Calling those formerly cursed, rejected, placing them now in a position of significance and honor. And so it is with his people Israel. Not a great nation, a mighty nation, a people with a history of rebellion. And yet God saw fit to take that nation, to make him his special people, to show His praise and to magnify Him in all the earth. They were to be a people of priests and kings to the Lord. And so also Christ's own disciples. One's a tax collector. Others are fishermen one denied Him. And a later apostle who persecuted the church. And yet, God in Christ, He uses these ones who are perhaps the rejects of the world. Perhaps formerly cursed. And uses them to bring His word. To showcase His glory and His grace. And for you and me as well. And the church of our day. Has He not shown us mercy and grace? In order that He might manifest His saving grace through you, through me. He's taken sinners. We who deserve that curse to remain upon our heads. We who deserve to be thrown off from the world. We who deserve to be condemned forevermore. And He uses us to be His kings and priests and His prophets in this world. To manifest His saving grace. And He places us, and He scatters us through the world. That the evidence of His gospel, the proclamation of that gospel, might be everywhere. His calling communicates His purposes. Do you embrace His purpose for your life? Thanking Him for the grace that He has given to you. Do you embrace His purpose for your life in placing you where He has, gifting you as He has, in order that you might see His calling and work that out? It's for that He has provided for you. Lastly, God's provision preserves His people. God's provision of the Levites preserves His people. The commentator David Howard makes mention that it is the wisdom of God that the lot of the Kohathites, from which was Aaron and the entire Old Testament priesthood, that lot of Kohathites included the cities of Judah. It included the cities of Judah. Why is that important? There's three sons, right? There's three different types of Levites. There's the Kohathites, those of Merari, and those of Gershon. But all the cities of Judah were the cities of Kohath, were the lot of Kohath, or Kohathites. And among the Kohathites, among these Kohathite Levites, were the priests. Well, that's so important because Solomon's wandering into idolatry had the dire consequence of much of the kingdom being torn away from his son Rehoboam and given to Jeroboam. 10 tribes went north. 10 tribes became the kingdom of Israel to the north. And 2 tribes, or really just 1 tribe, that of Judah, remained in the south. Only 1 tribe then left the son Rehoboam. And it says, so that David would always have a lamp before God in Jerusalem, the city of the Lord. Jerusalem was a city of Judah. And this was a city not only of the king, the throne of the king, but also of the temple of the Lord, which Solomon built, the place where sacrifices were to be offered to the Lord and where God would hear and God would come down and meet with His people when they turned to Him in prayers of faith and obedience before to Him. In the tribe of Judah were 9 cities of the Levites, all of these Kohathites containing the line of the priesthood. Thus, even then when Israel was divided, The Lord ensures for the future of Israel her preservation of worship. Jerusalem remains there with the temple, with the sacrifices, and with the priesthood. The altar upon which the sacrifices would be laid is under the jurisdiction of the priests, even when Israel's ripped apart. And when the northern kingdom is apostate. This, we see the enduring faithfulness of the Lord. He provides. He has determined all these things. And His will then ensures that His people will be provided for. Also, when the Levites taught the people His law, we see the importance of these Levites. They taught the people His law. And we see again a number of times in Israel, a return to the Lord. The Levites were the mechanism of that revival. In time of Jehoshaphat, He sent out Levites throughout the land, teaching the law of God to the people. And this is clearly part of the Lord establishing the kingdom in their hand, in Jehoshaphat's hand. And the people of Judah then gave Him presents. They were full of gratitude for the work of these Levites among them. These Levites teaching them and their children the ways of the Lord. And then it says that the fear of the Lord fell on the kingdoms around Judah so that they did not make war. This is the result of the Levites' work. And so the Lord, through His ministering servants, who mixed and mingled among the people, the Lord preserved them by His word and spirit and faith and obedience. We know it did not always go that way. But this was the design. This was the arrangement of our God. We see that also in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. Ezra, who was a Levite, they taught the people. They gave them a sense of the word. The understanding of that word and encourage them. By the Lord, they were all with the tribes, with all the tribes of Israel, enabled to possess and dwell in the land, Lord's provision of land in peace and rest. So the Lord delivered them. The Lord preserved them. The Lord provided for them. Can you see this? It's true, the Lord providing for you as well. An inheritance in Christ, a portion in His kingdom, in His glory, of His Spirit and His gifts. So that you are provided for. So the Lord's word comes to you. It's administered to your hearts for the preservation of His church. And of course, most supremely, again, through Jesus Christ, the glorious High Priest, through whom we are perfected forever. Let us then serve Him as faithful priests, bringing our sacrifices of thankfulness to Him. Let us praise Him as thankful Levites. Let us learn from the Levites that God is our great portion and our inheritance. That where He has placed us, we are to serve Him diligently. As He also then cares for us. For we too are heirs of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your wisdom to see at work in all these things and behind all these things. Lord, it is You that has planted Your people in their places in this world, given to them holy callings. It is You who have poured out Your Spirit upon mankind and brought us out of service to the devil to the glorious service of our God and King. You have taken out of our lips and out of our hearts the words of sin and rebellion and given to us and placed in our hearts and our minds and our lips the words of life, the word of our God. Oh, Father, we pray that we may then offer ourselves up as sacrifices of thanksgiving unto you, that we may be holy, dedicated priests, Levites, in the places where you have put us, that we would serve you faithfully. And we thank you and praise you that you are so faithful to us, that you are so gracious to us year after year, generation after generation. Father, we pray that you would establish your kingdom in this day and age and for the ages to come. We look to you, O Father, to do this, and we pray then that you might pour out your Spirit abundantly, that you might dwell in us with power and in your truth. And we pray that we may then also minister your word to one another and to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of response is from Psalm 48, number 89, Within Thy Temple, Lord, and That Most Holy Place. This afternoon is for mission to Italy, the work of Pastor Mike Cuneo. And as we take up the offering, we'll sing hymn number 463, He Leadeth Me. We'll stand for the last verse.
Thank you.
Our doxology will be the last two verses of 140. Go now, the Lord's blessing upon you. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.